1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Thanks for hanging out with us here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Video stream up and running. You can watch the show always on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, X, you name it. Be sure to subscribe. Makes it easy. That way, when you go right onto YouTube, you don't have to look around for the station. You won't miss our show. You won't miss Fesco and Dusty. You won't miss The Drive. Makes it easy. Go ahead and subscribe. Plus, you get the notification that'll pop up when we're live sometimes as well. So make sure you do that. And we appreciate you guys subscribing to the show. But I want to talk about Brett Veach for a second, because going back since he's taken over, there's been a couple things that have happened right before the draft. And we're 3 weeks out from the draft, 3 weeks from tonight. In 2019, they needed a reset on defense, so they trade for Frank Clark, right? Week before the draft. 2021, it looked like they were going to have to draft a tackle. Out of nowhere, they got a trade with the Ravens done for Orlando Brown Jr. Is there a trade that can even be made that you would want made?
Traded Snead a week before the draft last year?
Was it?
2 weeks? I mean, it was around that time, probably.
I thought it was earlier. I could be wrong. I thought that was earlier in the offseason. Yeah. But you might be right. I thought it was in March. But anyway, so if they had not addressed the tackle spot with Jalen Moore short term, which they did, then I probably would be sitting here saying, hey, need to go do it.
March 29th.
Okay. So perfect. So I don't think there's a trade I almost would even really, who do you want them to go trade? I don't think there's a big trade to make before the draft. They've only done it. Think about the times they've done it. The Orlando Brown Jr. one ended up being actually a good trade. At somewhat desperation, though, because they didn't like the class. Frank Clark was we need to bring in
we need a pass rusher. Yeah.
Didn't have it. Need to reset this defense, bring a new attitude to the defense, all of that. I don't sense they're in that. There wasn't an offensive tackle to go trade for this offseason, unless you thought they could do the Laremy Tunsil trade. Remember, Tunsil got traded to the Commanders.
That'd have been
that would have been the only one that I could have seen actually happening.
Look, I'm just telling you that for the last, he's only been the GM, since 2018, the year after Patrick Mahomes was drafted. So he's been the GM of record for 7 or 8 years now. And two of those times, he has made a massive swing right before the NFL draft. I'm not guaranteeing it by any means, but I do think you're right. If they made a big pre-draft trade that would surprise you, the answer is that it would be a defensive end. Because that's the only position in which I see that they would need a swing. They don't need it at wide receiver. They don't need it unless they were going for some veteran back, which I would hate, to be clear, based on this year's running back class. The reason why defensive tackle or end in particular could work for a pre-draft trade, you don't expect. Plenty of teams who will think they can replace that player in the draft this year. So maybe it's not a first rounder like those two, right? Or a second rounder in Clark's case, right? Or no, he was a first rounder. In those cases, maybe it's a third rounder for a veteran defensive tackle, defensive lineman for these teams who are doing it. And the Chiefs tell themselves, let's position ourselves to be good right away. And I know you're stuck,
but who's trading that player that doesn't also want a new deal? And I don't think the Chiefs, like last year, they were all in a three-peat campaign.
Orlando Brown Jr. didn't give a new deal to Frank Clark. They paid immediately.
Yeah, they were all in last year in a three-peat campaign, and I would have understood making a trade for 1 year. I don't think they're in that spot right now. Not that they're rebuilding the whole team, but I think this is not the offseason where I would want them trading for a player, giving up draft capital for a player that I'm not going to give a long-term deal to. And they're trying to get one done already still with Karlaftis and Trey Smith and Trent McDuffie, possibly. So I just don't think it makes sense this year to do that anyway.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with the idea that maybe this isn't the right year to do it, because there is a chance to say that, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Maybe the big trade this year is up.
In the draft. That's more likely.
And they trade up in the draft all the damn time. But I mean up in the draft, right? As in, you're getting into the teens, and then all these conversations about developmental left tackle goes into, but here's the problem. If they trade up in the draft, would they take a tackle? Why even pay more if that was your plan the whole time? Just as a safety net?
Well, because he becomes your right tackle.
And you're immediately putting him in. Yeah.
Next year, not
but I mean,
year.
Let's just say you traded up to 20 and you took a left tackle. Are you immediately making more your swing tackle? Are you trading Juwan Taylor? What is your plan? Are you making the rookie sit even though you traded up to 20 to get him?
Nobody's trading for Juwan Taylor with that contract. So,
oh, God, no. You have to eat a lot of it. Yeah. I guess maybe in that case somebody would or didn't. But so, I'm just trying to figure out, is there a big move? Is there a big swing at a Brett Veach? And maybe you're right. Maybe the answer is no, and let's just play the numbers. We got four picks in the top 100. If they trade down from 31, then they could really load up on talent, I think. And I don't know what the, what's he called? Hot zone?
Yeah, the hot zone.
Is that what he calls it?
And usually the hot zone, the hot zone is usually where the Chiefs have a bunch of picks. Is usually the answer. Well, it turns out the hot zone this year happens to be where we have all our picks.
You know what's funny, though, is as much as I would joke about that, they have been better drafting than most teams in the NFL. Yeah. So what they're saying about the hot zone might actually be correct. It's weird. It's starting to sound weird. You ever like say something enough times and then it's like, now it's starting to sound weird. That's one of those things.
Yeah, earlier today I heard it. I think earlier today you said something. We were all a little confused.
There's an ace up the hole.
we did. So yeah.
Is that not the phrase?
I don't.
No, because you corrected yourself right afterwards.
I try not to laugh at the time. I just start
it's
smiling.
It's hard sometimes when we're doing a live show and somebody says something, you're like, the hell? That's a weird thing to say.
The good news is we never save it and we never play it again. You know, that's the good thing.
Yeah, those don't just live forever.
It was good of you to correct yourself and just keep going instead of
I've had a tough 2 months of drops.
Uh-huh. And Alex Gold's got a real big dinger.
And I can't be more clear in the sense that I very rarely say them on purpose.
Oh,
like it is not.
No,
I am not saying those things to try to get attention. Look,
talk 20 hours a week. You're bound. Like you talk 20 hours a week. You're bound to say something incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, or in a phrasing that sounds a little weird. When you talk that much, it's going to happen. And that's why we have drops.
You just gave him like one good tug.
I mean, it happens.
I don't even remember what that
sometimes you get the
most
drops.
Most of the time, I don't even remember what they're about anymore.
I don't know what. Yeah, what were you? That was recent.
That was the trash of the day. I don't remember what.
You just gave. I'm trying to think for what.
I don't know. They constantly thought it was bigger than it was. You know.
So yeah,
you can just go. I mean, all you got to do
is this
go,
just on the last like 6 weeks.
Drew's got all these saved. You know?
I was gonna say if you go in the system right, if I type in drop right now in the system,
nobody lets me get away with anything on this show. Mm-mm.
There is a strand of Cody of drop Cody Cody drop Cody drop.
Gold says
Cody
things drop. Too. Cody. It's not just me. Yeah.
I mean, there's one. This is one of Gold as well.
You can raw dog on a flight. You can't raw dog the workout.
At least he said on the workout. That helps him a little bit.
All of these, mind you, are within the last like 2 months. So there's at least five or six total in the last month and a half.
Been an interesting, I guess, series of days for this show.
It might be dangerous with Bink being
start
in,
getting slap
know.
Happy.
Yeah,
mentioning
Bink is in tomorrow, so you know there'll be something there.
But I gotta go do Dance Dad stuff again for those who are asking. Someone was really critical of me on the text line. Said, "Hey,
for what?
It was my dream to meet you. I was gonna meet you last week." At the draft party, I was hoping to make the draft party.
Oh, the round table.
The round table. Not the draft party, the round table. I was hoping to make the round table. I'll be at the draft party. I was hoping to make the round table. My schedule did not allow due to the fact of like when my daughter's timing was for her awards, for her solo and stuff. And so I wanted to support my kid. And he said, just imagine if you had that kind of dedication to your listeners. Then imagine where you'd be. I was like, yeah, that's a fair point. I do like my daughter more than you all. I thanked you all with $1,000 at the bar. You could have come and met me then. That was my dedication. I tried to, like a bad absentee father, I tried to buy your love with money. And I don't know why you didn't just take my money, which I was offering at said time, for your love. My time goes to the kids. My money went to you. My money also goes to my kids, but I didn't give them $1,000 worth of something. You know, we had to put $1,000 on a bar tab. I tried to buy their attention, you know?
That's right. Thinking of money. We're seeing another team consider perhaps jumping the line a little bit and taking care of their quarterback. The latest, Baltimore with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. So the reports are that they're now starting to kick it around internally because most of these quarterback deals are of normal length, right? They're 4 or 5 years long. They're not. And I think Josh Allen got up to 6 this time around. So maybe his stretched out a little bit longer than that. They didn't sign Lamar Jackson that long ago to a 5-year, $260 million deal. He still has, after this year, 2026, 2027, under full contract, they didn't have a void year left at the end of that thing. So they got 3 years left on his deal, and they're already kicking around new money. It was just reminding me that I think what they're doing, what smart teams do if they can convince them to sign it, which is get ahead of the bubble. Because I don't know what Patrick Mahomes is going to make the next time he signs a contract per year, but I'm guessing it's at least $75 million, maybe $80 million per year. And what the Ravens are doing is exactly what the Chiefs should be doing too. kick around internally, because right now they're in the same timeline. The Chiefs had originally, and you remember this, the Chiefs had originally stated after the 2026 season is when they would,
right,
for sure, look at Patrick Mahomes' contract again and look to rework it. That's two full years away. Do you want Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels? I mean, who else? How many quarterbacks could get paid in between them? Tons.
And even Caleb Williams, if he's...
Dude, even bad quarterbacks are making $35 or $40 million a year. Now, Russell Wilson got 21. Like, part of me is just like, tear it up, get another 10-year deal, and start reworking that contract now, right? If he's still willing to be flexible with it, maybe that's why it doesn't matter for them. Maybe his willing to be flexible means you don't have to pay him earlier.
I'm way less worried about this than I probably was a couple years ago. And this applies to Mahomes, but also applies to any of the other, call it top five to top 10 quarterbacks in the league. With what we're seeing with the salary cap, we're seeing more and more international games, new TV deals with streaming partners.
Yeah.
That's where the cap is coming from. Massive television deals. That's only going to increase. It's why the salary cap went up more than the Chiefs even projected, which was a good thing. It's why maybe they were able to keep Trey Smith, as a matter of fact. It went up $7 to $10 million more, maybe, than what they projected. If that is going to happen, and there's no reason to believe it's not going to continue to happen in that fashion, then Patrick Mahomes making eventually $75, $80 million on average per year.
Doesn't really matter.
Like, it's a crazy number, but it won't be viewed as crazy in 3 years or 4 years. It really won't.
It borderline
like,
doesn't sound crazy now, there are honestly, articles, man.
You can go back and look, because I remember we had these conversations. Go back to like 2020, 2021. And there was the Ringer. Somebody had, like, it was a big deal. They had a whole feature piece. It was like, the first $50 million quarterback. It's like, oh my gosh. $50 million.
Done.
And now, like, that's...
Baker Mayfield makes that. That doesn't mean anything.
Is he at 50?
I don't know. He's probably close.
I think he's close.
So, I think he's actually really close to that number, yeah.
I'm not as worried about that number as I would have in the past. You know, the only time the NFL has not had the cap go up, I believe, was the COVID year, and for obvious reasons. So, other than that, it keeps going up. And right now, over the last 2 years, I think it's gone up over 50-something million dollars.
Yeah, as it sits right now, there are at least 10, without even counting, 11 quarterbacks who make over $50 million a year.
I know Stafford, and obviously is part of that.
In fairness, Baker's not one of those. He's only making $33 million a year.
Yeah.
But Jared Goff and Tua and Trevor Lawrence do. So, like, $75, $80 million a year, that ain't all that crazy here coming up in a couple of years. And maybe that's what Mahomes is waiting on. And at the end of this thing, I still think that they just have to choose to, like, not ruin your franchise. But at the end of this thing, I would add so many void years to the end of his deal. If he's 39 and you're still trying to win Super Bowls, rack up the void years till you're blue in the face. No era of Chiefs football will ever surpass this one.
Right.
This is it. This is the pinnacle. Take every conceivable advantage you can make and try to take advantage of what will be the single greatest run in your franchise history, even if they get it right. And they're like the Packers and they get the next really good, great quarterback in there. It won't look like this. It'll never look like this. For the Patriots, for the 49ers, for all these other teams who have been dynasties, they've had other winning stretches, not like this. And so they're going to have to make those decisions anyway. I'm just like, if the Ravens are already kicking it around, I'm hoping the Chiefs
I'm sure there's been some discussion with representation on Mahomes' side as well to figure out kind of where it goes. I also would be a little surprised if they waited till after the 2026 season. It feels like it's got to be something that happens before this year or after next year instead of waiting till after the 2026 year. But we'll keep an eye. I don't think Chiefs fans should be worried about it, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, he has made it to a point that maybe you just don't even need to, you know, like, he has made his contract so favorable to the team to this point. Unless he just has a complete change of heart, it's kind of hard to imagine that that's the case. I did see they didn't talk about it at all. It looked like you know, some of the guys who were talking, like Andy was talking about Travis working out, and I saw Trey Smith on First Things First. So some Chiefs players are talking. I haven't seen anything on the Mahomes deal, but also
no,
they seem like in a complete lack of a rush to do it. Average annual he's already like the 15th highest paid quarterback.
Also, they have Trey Smith's deal still to figure out. They got to get Trey Smith's long-term deal done. And there hasn't been really much of an update on that here recently. It's April 3rd. They have till mid-July.
Looking at McDuffie, you know there's a couple things.
Trent McDuffie and Karloftis potentially, but I think the priorities are Trey Smith and McDuffie this offseason to get deals done. So that you know, that's why you need the Trey Smith deal done, so you can start working on the Trent McDuffie number before Sauce Gardner gets paid by the Jets. And that number keeps going up. That's the challenge you have right now.
They're both probably in a match against each other, hoping the other. Mm. Now, look, you're going to cost yourself $1 million. You're not going to cost yourself at this stage, like between Sauce and his. The guy who got ripped off was it J.C. Horn? There was like
Panther. J.C. Horn still got 100, didn't he?
He was on the reset the market in a way almost because he hit 3 for 100, I think.
Okay, maybe it was him. There was a corner who got signed right before.
That was like Stingley.
There was like $4 million or $3 or $4 million off. And then once we saw the numbers, I'm like, oops. You maybe shouldn't have signed too soon, but everyone else felt like it was probably going to be close. It didn't seem like it was going to be like astronomical. We'll see. And again, a lot of this is like, this is why I also, if, and I don't know, like offshores have it, so we'll see once they like get them on the other sites. Right now, if I'm getting anywhere near plus money or even money on the Chiefs to take a defensive lineman with their first pick, that's the bet I'm making. 100% the bet I'm making because I am convinced it will be a defensive lineman in the first. You
got to
find eventual replacements for Karlaftis, eventual replacements for Chris Jones, eventual replacements for Felix or Dana or anyone else on your defensive line. You have no long-term stability at those positions who are under contract.
You still like Harmon?
Yeah, that's my guy. Well, that's my number one guy so far.
I think I would lean towards defense as well. What they would do from a betting angle, I saw there's a lot of people out there that like the offensive line pick because they're looking at mock drafts, and there's still a ton of mock drafts that have the Chiefs taking offensive linemen. They could do it. I'm trying to balance, like, I wouldn't do it, but also maybe they just feel that they're fine with taking a first round pick that's going to be more about 2026. I know we've talked a lot about that. Like, that's not how you would handle.
They
just
did that last year.
I
know. No, 2 years ago.
Thinking of that, though, I'll have to go back and listen. It looks like Felix Anudike Uzomah was on with Kay Adams today talking about the Chiefs want a big step and leap from him this year. You know,
I don't watch her show regularly.
She gets a lot of Chiefs players.
It might just be what I was going to say. It might just seem that way to me because the only time I'm going to notice is if she has Chiefs players on there. Does it seem like she has a disproportionately high number of Chiefs players compared to other members of other teams?
I don't know.
Or not?
I think it's hard to say that, but I will say she's had this offseason Trey Smith, Charles Omenihu, now Felix Anudike Uzomah.
Feels like kind of a disproportionately high number.
Because I mean, she gets athletes on all the time. Obviously,
I don't watch her show enough to be sure.
Kevin Durant and her have like a segment that they did during the NFL season.
You want to talk about a show we can hold a funeral for? How about Good Morning Football?
Yeah, it's kind of sad actually. Where that show's gone?
Do we need to hold a funeral for that show?
Pete Schrager is out. Now it's just Kyle Brand and. I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know
who's
left.
In terms of the regular crew, that's really it.
Well, Jamie Erdahl, who replaced Kay Adams, but I mean, she's only been there as long as Kay Adams has
been. That show's not what it was 3 years ago, that's all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that might be what it is.
Schrager's going to do some stuff reportedly with ESPN. Like, just do, you know, studio show stuff.
Potentially starting as early as the draft? Is that what we're...
I think there's a chance, because he's sounds like his contract was up at NFL Network.
You know who's... in this, I think sometimes because of his role or, like, the goofy nature of that show sometimes... He is very in tuned to. He does a pretty good job of telling you who's going where in the draft. He does a better job than some of the like actual draft people.
He breaks news occasionally. He falls in.
Yes, Schrager's pretty accurate. He falls in.
People don't think
he's
of him,
in the know.
He falls into the insider category a little bit. He's just not at the level of Schultz or Shefty or Rappaport.
I think it's because he's got a goofy energy, and so nobody's like, you know, like all those other guys are like, I'm a serious reporter.
I don't know, because you put him in like the Jay Glazer category, where every now and then, every now and then, Glazer will break some news, some injury stuff, you know, but he isn't present like. Schultz
the difference with Glazer is he saves his scoop for his Sunday morning show on segment that he does on Fox pregame.
Right.
Whereas a lot of the other guys are like rushing to go tweet it out real quick at, you know, Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night. Whereas he's fine holding the scoop to 11:05 on Sunday morning.
I think it was Glazer
on the
that,
TV show.
Man, you got to be damn sure you got the scoop by yourself. Really? If you're just sitting on there like, well, going to go to bed, knowing all this inside NFL knowledge nobody knows, good night, then just wake up and assume it's still there.
I think Glazer was hanging out with the coaches down in West Palm. Like he had taken a video, I think, and he was sitting right next to Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin. Yeah,
he does have a good relationship with a lot of them. I mean, he's been around the league for a while.
I think he was just hanging with the coaches down there.
Someone did point out this is true. We were talking about video games earlier because the new Switch has been announced. Scott Hansen is going to be the new voice of Madden, in-game voice of Madden.
Really?
Now, he won't be the red zone voice. It sounds like more and more like he might be done with that.
Should have done with Scott Hansen was they need to go back to like when they had Boomer doing the updates. They should have had Hansen doing like in-game updates from like other, like if when you do your franchise, if I'm playing as whoever, and there's like a big, there's a you're in division, you're a divisional race or something like that. Throw it to Hanson. Hanson pops up, and there's like a scoreboard update. The way that Boomer did it with ESPN, whatever it was, 2K5.
Yeah.
Real quick,
game's goated.
Before we take a break, the umpire scorecard is out from last night. You had mentioned John Tempain and his
ridiculous balk,
his pretend balk call last night. Umpire scorecard: 0.91 runs in favor of Milwaukee. Was that, hey guys, just real quick, was that a one-run game or was it mini runs?
I think it was.
Yes, sir. Only 91% overall accuracy, which, by the way, is really bad for an umpire. I know you're like, 91, not bad. No, pretty bad. The three most impactful calls of the game, according to the umpire scorecard, all went against Kansas City. He was actually somehow more accurate calling strikes than he typically does, which is really saying something based on what I watched last night. So he stinks is the point. And this doesn't even, I don't even think this factors in the balk call, because this is really just balls and strikes.
No, it has nothing to do with the miss.
Are we going
to
do this now where any Royals game? Like, let's see if,
no,
let's see who's
no,
going to be umpire.
I thought that guy stunk.
Game. Okay. Okay.
I don't know any other. I know very few umpires. Like, but it, and Drew, I think, or Gold, you made the point.
The bad ones stand out, of course.
Neither of us. This is the difference between complaining about a ref or talking about a ref or talking about an umpire. Neither of us are sitting on the show being like, the reason they lost the game is Johnny Boy behind the dagger couldn't handle his business. Course. No. That's not the argument. That is not the argument it's making. They lost the game because somebody laid down a perfect sacrifice bunt and they couldn't hit. But that doesn't, like, you don't just get a free pass. Like, I can't ever look at you and say, you stunk at your job. He was bad at his job last night. He's really bad.
The automated ball strike, the ABS system next year is going to be incredible. Just to see some of these umps get embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there'll be some times where players wrong. There'll be some times where players wrong on it too, right? But the umps getting, how are umps going to handle getting embarrassed?
Because
that's what's going to happen.
Do you almost wish that Angel Hernandez was still around for that, where he calls
a for next
Angel
Hernandez?
That is egregious. That was just awful outside. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm challenging it.
And talking to some people in organizations and teams, it's great, because it's going to be great drama. Because to my understanding, the way it's worked so far in the minor leagues and even in the testing and spring training is they talk trash to each other. Vinny taps his helmet. He's like, told you it was a ball, dum-dum. And vice versa, the ump, when you go tappy-tap and say, call's wrong, and you're like, nice try. Told you it was a strike.
You know there's going to
be trash talk between you, like, ooh, I like
there's
that.
There's going to be one umpire, though, who takes it way, like, even
they're
more
all sensitive babies.
Where somebody actually gets tossed because they turn and they talk smack, and he's like, no, I'm done.
He's going to get ball four and then get tossed from the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Told you it was ball four. Should have listened, Blue.
In like the fourth
and he's going to be, get your ass out of the game, because that's his only recourse now that he got the call wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see
that's drama. That's
I can't wait
drama.
To see it play out. Yeah, I can't wait to see it play out. Next year. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and the latest from Adam Schefter on what's not going to happen in the top five of the NFL draft.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals are off today. They're back home, though, tomorrow to begin a series with the Baltimore Orioles. 6:40, I believe it is, first pitch. Vern's on deck show. Maybe I'm off of my time. 6:40 or 7:10.
Royals moved it up during the school year.
It might be 6:40.
I think 6:40 all year.
Yeah, I think it is 6:40. Yeah. But anyway, tomorrow, Royals, Orioles. I get going again right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals are 2-4 on the season.
I'm pretty sure that was one of their announcements, is that for the most part, they will be 6:40 weekday games. It is 6:40 tomorrow. Okay. Next up on What's Trending, the New England Patriots are sending quarterback Joe Milton and his cannon for an arm to the Dallas Cowboys to be their backup there. Obviously, Cooper Rush went to Baltimore. Dallas now has their new backup for Dak Prescott. New England's May's the starter there, obviously, and pretty comfortably. I don't know, this is kind of a nothing burger for the most part, unless you believe some of the Cleveland people were talking themselves into Dak Prescott getting there.
That's the last
thing Cleveland should do is trade for another quarterback. Get your ass back in the draft. Like, and I know that that's gone poorly for you too, but not as bad as that Deshaun Watson deal went. That is the all-time worst transaction in NFL history.
Yeah, we played the audio of that Cleveland reporter that said he had the big scoop. Remember, he had like the long, dramatic pause. I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either. That was last Friday, right?
Bruce Drunen.
I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization.
Why is he pausing so long?
Couple. I heard since our last show.
The longest pauses ever.
And part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract. Yeah, money, money, money.
This guy could not sound more from Cleveland if he tried.
The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott.
This guy will get to look. That guy will get to walk on water if he actually gets that thing right.
Joe Milton, traded, as you said. Next up on What's Trending, the Chiefs made a minor signing today. Mike Edwards back with the Chiefs, veteran safety. I say minor, but this is actually the time of the signings where the Chiefs have had some real success.
Yeah, they've hit
Drew Tranquil, Mike Edwards the first time. Look, veteran safety. Small deal. You get him in the room, to help some of the younger guys, and maybe he also helps you in some of the run cover,
run defense
from the secondary. So, I don't know why anybody would be upset about Mike Edwards coming back. He helped you win a Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah, nothing offensive about it. Next up on What's Trending, women's soccer news. First, in the NWSL, Tamu Chiwenga was named the NWSL Player of the Month. Currently, the KC Currents stand in second place in the NWSL on international break. They're 3-0. They got an 8-goal differential. Yeah. One team's also 3-0. They just have a 10-goal differential. That is the Orlando Pride. Also, FIFA has said the U.S. is poised to likely be named the 2031 Women's World Cup winner. Do we think, do we think...
Hopefully winner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a lot of times they're very good.
They could be poised to be
could
the winner.
Could be both.
Yeah.
When you look at the way that it works on this end, any chance KC could make their appeal again to be a host city?
I have no idea how
again?
That works. I don't
they
know.
Have the only purpose-built women's stadium in the world, I would think, if you had an argument for it. Plus, if we kick ass, maybe hosting one next year, maybe it'll make it easier.
The reason why I honestly would question it in 2031 is...
He's just going to spread the cities around, maybe. But
well, that and what's going on at Arrowhead? What's going on at Truman Sports Complex in 2031?
Ooh. If they have the new stadium built, then what do you think?
Don't know. Well, there's no way it's going to be built by then.
Yeah, that's true. So well, the Royals' new stadium should be built by then. Why couldn't the new Arrowhead be built by then?
Where are the Chiefs playing?
On the opposite side of the park.
So they're going to demolish Kauffman and have the new one built by 2031. I don't think that's possible.
I don't know. It seems tight. It does seem tight.
I don't think that's possible.
I will say that actually does
like
hurt.
On that,
that's a good point,
on that site, at least. Like, could they build it for Kansas by then? For sure. But on that site?
Seems less likely.
I don't know. Anyway, lastly on What's Trending, AJ Storr has entered the transfer portal. Add him to the long list of Kansas players.
The entire roster.
I'll be honest, like this one I'm happy about.
He averaged 6 points a game for them. He'll go average 13 for Drake next year. This will be AJ Storr's fourth team in 4 years. Those are the ones where you're like, hey man, you're not portaling right. You need to find a good fit, stay at that university, earn some money, and grow your college career.
Wisconsin.
He should have. He was very successful at Wisconsin.
Not, not portaling, portaling right.
That's I'm not saying he shouldn't.
But no, it's a phrase that like 6 years ago we never would have said.
You could be honest that this also goes back to high school because if you include his four high school years, in the last 8 years, he has
been at
eight different schools. He has not been at the same high school.
AJ! Find a spot, dude. What?
Well,
he went to four different high schools?
Mm-hmm.
That man follows the money. I can't blame him there.
Now, you said, not to get on the personal side of it, but a big reason why he chose Kansas, too. Didn't his girlfriend go to Kansas?
I think that is a big reason why Kansas got him.
Okay. Now, is she done with school? Do you know? Like, is her career over?
I don't know.
I'm just asking you, like, if he's leaving, she leaving?
I don't know.
That's your guy. I thought you'd have the scoop. AJ Storr
is not my guy anymore.
You talked him up big time when he transferred in. I
know.
All my AJ Storr knowledge came from you.
Yeah, because he averaged 17 points a game and was outstanding.
Well, he was at Wisconsin.
He's quite a bit worse at Kansas. He was pretty good those last 2 weeks.
Evidently, if you want to be better.
He was not bad. Those last 2 weeks, he was not bad.
Evidently, if you want to
thought he was
good,
turning into Remy Martin for the tournament, you know?
If you just want to be good, evidently, just go to Wisconsin and you'll be all right.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our NFL draft party coming up 3 weeks from today, April 24th. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero broadcasting live from the Landing in Liberty. You fill out your draft predictions and have a chance at winning $965. The switch to FM helping you out on that one. It was 610 last year.
It was.
We got up a full $330 from last year's number. So, yeah, chance to win $965 and autographed Chiefs helmet as well if you come join us 3 weeks from today at the Landing in Liberty.
That's going
to
be awesome. And if you want draft coverage tonight, Bink, Chris and Osero of Character Concerns crew, going to be live at 6 o'clock this evening. No Royals baseball, so I have a little draft special tonight, and then Bink will be filling in for you tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll work in some draft talk. Bink already called me twice. He's ready to roll.
What do you need?
He's ready to roll for tomorrow. He wanted to run an idea by me for tomorrow.
For the show?
Yeah.
He's already working on the
roll. Bink's ready to roll.
I'm impressed, honestly.
Yeah, so we'll have Bink tomorrow.
He'll have some beer too because it's Fan Club Friday. I think he's excited
about
that.
We'll have a new guest. I don't believe we've had our Fan Club Friday guest on the show before. Not in that capacity. The guest has called in before to talk about much more serious matters in the past.
But he gets to be loose and have a drink and hang out.
So we'll have a guest. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then, Jake Eisenberg will join us for his weekly visit as well.
I'm never here for Jake's weekly visits.
You will be eventually.
The timing worked out poor because I'm off back-to-back Fridays for dance competition. There are no more until the national competition in June, for what it's worth.
Where's that at?
So no more. Fort Worth.
Stockyards.
Yeah, that area.
Okay.
Somewhere in
country Dallas.
That area. The Will Rogers Memorial Center is where I believe. They just name everything after Will Rogers in Texas. They got no other people to name stuff after. Normally, just Will Rogers.
Normally Oklahoma. The Oklahoma City Airport's the Will Rogers Airport, I think.
Okay. Yeah. It's like get to the south and they're like, what if we named it Will Rogers Elementary School, Memorial Center Airport?
Yeah, I guess so, man. I guess so, yeah.
Either way, we'll be down in Texas.
Having, out of all things, like airport, your name attached to an airport, you feel like you think that's higher up than like... Like, where does that rank, having your
pretty
name
high.
On a building?
Like, if they let me name it the Cody Tapp Downtown Airport instead of Charles B. Wheeler, you know, I'd be inclined.
I think they're talking about changing it to Kansas City Downtown, but there's some controversy around it. I think they actually are talking about changing it to make it more recognizable.
They don't want Charles B. Wheeler's not getting his name.
Well, that's the family has spoken out.
What about the history? What if we honor the people
of the past?
That's
the debate.
I've actually met Charles B. Wheeler a couple of times. Yeah. He liked to belly up to a couple of like neighborhood bars and just like sit and drink at the bar. He's pretty relaxed, dude.
I think airport's high on the list. Like, if you're going to have your name on a building, airport's very high. Very high. So many travelers coming in and out, people from across the world.
Yeah, that's way up.
That or a building like at your alma mater. Like if you had a building named after you at KU Gold, I feel because foot traffic, of course.
Would you want a dorm, the library? What? What do you want?
Depends how much money I'm donating.
No, what do you want? If you get any choice of building, what do you want besides the gym?
You're not going to change. You're not going to change that.
You don't get Allen Fieldhouse. You can choose any other building on the property.
The best part about your guys' names, though, I'm going to the Tap. I'm going to the Gold. Like, I'm having lunch at the Gold today. Are you going to come with me?
Oh, not bad, actually.
I think there's
simple,
a,
quick.
There's a way. Like,
one of the unions already has a name attached to it, so that's the problem. Like, there's already the Burge Student
Your
Union.
Guys
but how often is that guaranteed for? 20 years, maybe?
Well, I think you're locked in, unless you do something terrible. You're locked in.
For life?
I think you're locked in.
Man.
Until somebody wants to...
Is the UMKC Student Union named after anybody? Feels like it probably no.
On campus, I still think I would want it to be an athletic facility somehow, but I don't know.
I mean, what is the? The media. I'm sure the school of journalism.
It's already Stauffer Flint Hall.
The KRU, the student radio station building. It doesn't even operate the same way, dude. I would like that named after
you. Want the building?
Just the room. I don't even need the whole building.
The room.
Just the room. I wanted to say.
I'm going to record in the chat today.
I'm going to go put my name under the room placard.
It's a place for people
how much money
up,
would
me
you
and
have
Ryan
to, how
Witkowski.
Much money would you have to donate?
$100? I mean, come on.
$100?
To get
your
my
mind.
Name under a room?
Dude,
it's one room in the student union. I don't need everything. It's one room.
Try $100,000.
Cody students have senior thesis papers. Cody's thesis is to get his name. The pitch as to why his name should be.
Let's talk UMKC. I actually think, in fairness, it should probably be Ryan Witkowski's name instead of mine. He did more work for the student radio station when I was there. But if I can get my name on it, I'm not going to apologize for getting it over his. Maybe two names.
The Witkowski hyphen Tap.
It's too long.
Witkowski Tap. Broadcast center.
At that point, you might as well just say Cody and Ryan. And everyone's like, Cody and Ryan who?
Well, look at this. Someone says, in early 1900s, they said the original KC Convention Hall, built in 1899, burned down months before at the time the Democratic National Convention was scheduled, but the city rallied to rebuild within 90 days, showcasing the KC spirit. Why can't we build a stadium
90 days. I don't know. They're building with balsa wood.
Are you asking why the new Arrowhead, if that's what they do, can't be built in 90 days? I know I'm exaggerating, but
that'd be impressive.
I mean, I don't think they could build it.
Takes like 3 years.
900.
I think it takes 300 years or
300 years. Not building a great pyramid. Relax.
Three years. Well, if they want to build the China, you want concrete cancer or not?
Right.
You know.
You know what? In retrospect, some of the things they
built. You take your time on it. There won't be concrete cancer the next stadium. All right.
Why don't they just build every stadium out of like whatever they built a Great Wall out of? Because that thing's still working.
Yeah.
Doing this wrong.
So is it the volleyball facility at KU is named after someone, but no one can pronounce it. Yeah, it's like the Horsch Center or whatever. Yeah, it's like the Horsch Center.
You're still struggling to pronounce it.
Horsch Center, yeah, something like that.
You got to win the lottery to do it. I don't know if that's how I would spend my lottery money, is naming something after myself.
No, absolutely not. No.
You don't want to leave the lasting legacy?
I mean, for charity or something, that'd be like to become influential. But like just to have your name on a building. Now, look, you think about some of the people that donate money. They're doing it because they're trying to help their university.
Oh,
which
sure. Of course.
You know, if you got the money to
but
do it, you got the money.
But I also happen to like something being named after me. It makes me feel nice, you know, that kind of. I mean, it's a selfish act. Let's not be crazy here.
You're rather
helping the school, but it's a genuinely selfish act.
So you'd rather donate $5 million have your name on a building than $5 million in NIL for UMKC to.
No, I'd rather donate the $5 million to NIL. Like, if I want it, I'd rather just be like, whichever coach you got to pay, get AJ Storr to UMKC, right? Mm-hmm. What's he want? $2 million to play? Well, how much does he need to play here? Because he'd dominate the Summit League. He'd be incredible. He'd score 25 points a game.
That'd be a hell of a headline. Sports talk host in Kansas City.
Pays $2 million to get AJ Storr.
Buying players individually.
No disrespect to the kid. What a terrible investment.
No offense. This is exactly.
What a terrible investment that would be.
This is exactly what.
It wouldn't cost you that much.
This is what Grand Canyon University.
Yeah, they're for-profit.
This is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grand Canyon's for-profit. Bryce Drew's the head coach, I think, out there, right?
Yeah. Because they paid him a ton of money, and then they recruited all these kids because they paid him all a bunch of money.
Grand Canyon, they made the tournament this year, but they weren't nearly as good. They were one and done.
Last year, they were better than they were this year.
He's never even made the tournament. I'll pay whatever. If I
it's
got
one of the worst
lottery
jobs.
Money. I mean,
it honestly, it's unfortunately, it's one of the worst jobs in the country. The basketball job at UMKC.
When are they going to build their own
arena? Shouldn't be. Like Kansas City, we obviously have talent in the area. We've seen it with Loyola Chicago bring talent. Drake obviously had talent from the Kansas City area. So the talent's here, but it's just tough. How do you turn the tide on that program?
Yep. That's how I would do it. Yep. Is that the kid's going to get $500,000 in NIL to go play at Loyola? No, he's going to get $2 million for me. and we're you're staying, bringing money to the local economy, putting $2 million in a college kid's hands. Woo. I'm
they've tried. They've talked about it.
They play
in a rec center. Right
that's
now.
Why they're also not getting kids. Hey, this is where they play in a rec center.
That is a massive problem for who they recruit against, even in their own conference.
It's better than playing at the Muni because that became a venue that didn't make sense for them either. But yes, playing at a rec center, it's a problem.
One day I'll get to live my UMKC dreams and they'll make the tournament and I'll call into the show I'm going to go. I said maybe.
I hope so. It'd be cool to see a team with Kansas City on the front in the tournament.
It would be
awesome.
We'd all be rooting for them. Even you.
Yeah, of course.
Unless it was against Kansas, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the only line you
otherwise,
would draw.
Absolutely. We'd be Team Kansas City for sure.
Damn. One day, UMKC. One day. If you're a local college or a local high school kid right now and you're like, you were thinking about going to play at Northwest Missouri State or one of these other schools. Will you just play at UMKC instead, please?
What you need is for Kansas City to rally around its college like Sacramento State has, because Sacramento State has got a bevy of interest from the city itself.
They don't even have a conference yet. UMKC has that advantage.
Yeah. Sac State's trying to do it for football. And they're going to be independent. That's a whole different story. UMKC.
The basketball team's going to play in the Kings Arena. Like the city is bent over backwards to help them out.
This has always been the issue and will continue to be the issue for UMKC. If you're in Kansas City and you have money and you support college basketball, you are sending your money to Missouri, Kansas, or K-State. You know, or the local private high school you went to, like Rockhurst. Like, you're more likely for the dollars to go there than UMKC. There's like one dude I remember who sat half court the entire time I did student broadcast. I don't even know what he does. His last name's Yost. He clearly had money. He was the biggest UMKC basketball
supporter.
Who knew?
Ned was a big fan of the UMKC.
It wasn't Ned. It was just some other guy named Yost. He might have just been supporting because at the time, I think his daughter was on the dance team.
Well, that makes sense.
So he might have just been supporting more during that time. I don't know. I'll find him eventually. I'm trying to find him now. Just ignore me. Talk about something else for a minute. Oh, he's a president of a bank.
Someone says, watch how you're talking about the Sweeney wreck.
This guy, he's a president of a bank.
Well, that adds up, Cody. Hmm.
And he went to UMKC, I think.
Well, yeah. You can be honest, though, when we're talking about the rec center. Like, look, if you're having a Division I prospect in, even if they're playing in front of 5,000 people in an actual arena, like with Omaha or Denver, I don't know where the Denver Pioneers play, if that's still their name. I believe it is. The Denver...
that's their name. They don't play at the Nuggets place.
I don't know.
At probably some other
I would imagine
arena.
They have an arena, but you're visiting... Let's say you visit Omaha, and it's a 5,000-people arena. They, of course, made the tournament last year, which helps, but... That or a rec center, you're just going to gravitate towards the actual arena, you know?
They play at the Hamilton Gymnasium.
At least...
That sounds like a rec center to me.
It does.
Calling it a gymnasium is
like
not
a YMCA,
exactly...
Like YMCA, you know? Not quite that far, but...
They used to play games at the newer, but larger... This one's newer. Magnus Arena. So it was probably like the way Muni... The way UMKC. So they're probably in a similar, but also, like, they're not doing anything special either. They also stink. But they've at least made the NCAA tournament in 92, 94, and 96. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's at the Division II level. Never mind.
They've never made it either.
Dang. Oh, that's tough.
Never mind. They've never made it either. They're just as bad.
So. They're in the Summit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing against...
Oh, UMKC? I thought you were talking about Denver.
No. Denver is in the Summit, too.
Okay. That's why you brought up that. They were in the WAC for a while. I couldn't remember.
They're still competing against NDSU and SDSU.
Yeah.
And then those schools that dedicate a lot of resources into those because they're the only state universities or only have the
couple. South Dakota State's got a hotel attached to the side of their arena.
Oh, they play at the Samford, Pentagon or whatever it's called. Or
NDSU's got the Fargo Dome,
the Pentagon
for football and everything.
I get confused on my shape sometimes.
No, it is. I think it is the
Samford.
I think it's the Pentagon.
Is the Pentagon? I think you're right.
I don't think it's a hexagon.
It's certainly not an octagon, yeah.
This is not how I planned on the rest of the show.
The Sanford Pentagon.
The last 180 seconds of the show brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. I've been in that arena. You'd think I'd remember. Yeah. Like, you'd really, really think I remember, but... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't plan on getting into UMKC basketball talk today, but it always goes back to the same thing. What I've always said is, and now it doesn't work that way. I even said with Samson in particular, find a guy who got fired for cheating, hire him, and let him cheat with you. Now he doesn't even have to cheat. Now he's just got a team in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Doing the same things he was doing when he was technically cheating.
If UMKC got to the Final Four in a matter of 4 years, you know that it's so obvious, though.
Why would if they made a tournament, their coach would immediately get hired by a different team.
It would be one of the best turnarounds in college basketball.
They've never made the tournament. That coach would be gone in 5. He'd be hired before they were even out of the tournament. He would already be rumored to be going to Drake or Xavier or one of those other schools. Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that Drake can't keep a head coach because they keep winning too much. If UMKC had a coach that got into the tournament,
gone immediately.
Coach would get another job.
Yeah. Immediately. I can't even
shout out Marvin Mintz.
You know what? He's been in he's coached in the tournament, though.
Yes.
He took Mexico State a couple years ago.
Mexico State many years back.
Yeah, but he also had this is around the time I was covered, the Boulard twins. They're both 7-footers. He had 2 7-footers in the WAC.
Go find some more 7-footers, you know?
They were not the most skilled 7-footers.
Become the Purdue Boilermakers of the Summit. Just find 7-footers randomly across the planet, not even in the country.
No, they don't even have anywhere. They never have picked up a basketball, and you will have some success in the Summit League with a 7-footer.
Yeah.
They don't even have to they are just physically tall is all you care about.
And that, my friends, is the most... Kansas City Ruse, UMKC discussion we've ever had.
Yeah.
On this show.
And the most we'll probably ever get in Kansas.
And the most we'll ever have. Shout out to the
Ruse. At least
it's
local. We weren't like having like Howard's head coach on or something.
Yeah, wouldn't want Howard's coach on. Wouldn't want random basketball coaches on. That wouldn't make any sense today at all. All right, up next, The Drive with CDOT and Rob right here. Cody and Gold. We'll talk to you on Monday because Cody's not here tomorrow. Bink's in with me tomorrow. So it's not Cody and Gold tomorrow, technically. See ya.